science.
I think we should talk some science. We should chuck some research into the filter, see what we get. My guest on our research filter tonight is Susanna Elliott, CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre in Adelaide. Susanna, welcome.
Good evening.
This first story has just scotched my plans to travel to Mars. Yeah, I was going to go. I didn't care about not coming back. Deep space travel could frazzle your brain. Susanna, tell me it's not true.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't tell you it's not true. In fact, this has been known for a while. What the scientists have done now is, because most of the studies they've done haven't really simulated going out into space. So what they've done is they've built this room where they can put mice and simulate going out into deep space. Almost simulate, as far as, you know, as close as they can get. And they put mice into this chamber, if you like, for 6 months, which is around about the time that it takes to get to Mars, or will be around about the time it takes to get to Mars. And one of the unfortunate things they found was that it has, you know, this exposure to space-like conditions has quite a bad impact on their central nervous system, including things like learning and memory problems and higher rates of anxiety. So, yes, it is a problem.
Would these things be recoverable, do you think, or would they be permanent effects?
Well, that's an interesting question. They haven't actually tested that. Now, of course, this is due to radiation exposure. So we're not talking about just any aspect of being out in space. It's about cosmic radiation and the impact that that has. And, you know, certainly some of the impact of a radiation out in space is permanent, you know, in the sense that it does, you know, DNA damage, which can be repaired, but quite often that'll lead to things like cancer and, you know, other types of health problems. So... yeah.
So, have we noticed any frazzling from long-term space stays of, you know, the space station people so far?
Well,
I'm using frazzle
as
the appropriate technical term, of course.
The thing is that as long as they're within Earth's orbit, they are protected somewhat by, you know, the magnetic field around Earth, which, you know, protects us from cosmic radiation. So it's when you go into deep space that it's the problem. And I don't know that they've done a hell of a lot of that sort of stuff yet. So, you know, watch this space.
Very good. old age is inclined to, well, make us a little bit frail. But our propensity to become frail in old age is an interesting subject of research. What's it told us here?
Yeah, so this was a really big study called a meta study, which is where scientists basically pull a whole lot of data from lots of different studies. So in this case, this research was done by Monash University, or led by that group, and they looked at 46 different studies, which included about 120,000 different people in 28 countries. So massive, really big study. And it's the first of its kind, actually, that estimates how likely it is that people will become frail past the age of 60. And so what we're talking about here, when they're talking about frailty, we're talking about things like, you know, muscle weakness, low energy, weight loss, basically slowing down, all the sorts of things that we kind of associate with getting old.
Yep.
And so what they found was that about 4.3% of people over 60 who still live out in the community, so we're not talking about people in nursing homes, we're talking about people who still live in houses, that about 4.3% of them will become frail each year, which may not sound like a lot, but it's cumulative. So over 3 years, for example, you'll have 13% that are frail. And the other thing I found is that it's quite a lot higher in women than in men. So, you know,
what can we do about frailty? Can we take prophylactic measures, or can we reverse the effects?
Yep. In fact, the interesting thing, the point that they make, which I think is really interesting, is that we've come to kind of accept frailty as being part of aging, and we shouldn't. We should consider it as a medical condition that can be treated and can be prevented. And what they find is that people who become frail, they often show warning signs quite a long time beforehand. And so if you can see those warning signs, you can catch it in its tracks. And with things like, you know, muscle strengthening exercises and diet, you can stop it, or at least slow the progress of frailty.
I guess another one of those instances that go to the, you know, the importance of lifelong good habits around diet, exercise, and so forth.
Yes, and of course this is so much more important, or becoming so much more important, with, you know, the kinds of predictions about our ageing population. I think the latest prediction was we'd have about 20% of us will be over 60 by 2050. So, you know, there's a lot of us to think about.
It's going to happen now. Here's this last one, dear me. Stopping seagulls from stealing your food, or at least making them feel guilty about flogging your chips. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, this is research out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've all experienced it, haven't we? We've all been out at the beach, you know, sitting there with your fish and chips, and along come the gulls, and they're so gung-ho, and they go in there and they steal your stuff.
Brazen, they are.
Oh, absolutely, they're brazen. So what the UK researchers decided to do was just to see whether staring at them would make a difference. And whether you give them the evil eye, will they actually stop their bold attempts to take your food?
Right.
So what they found, there's some interesting things actually out of this. So to start with, it was only 26% of the gulls that actually stole food. So we kind of get the impression that all the gulls are the same, but they're actually not by any means all the same. Some of them, there's actually a small select group of gulls that are really gung-ho and will go after it. Yeah, that's right. But the next thing they found was that the birds that do go snatching are definitely much more cautious if you stare at them. Even though there was quite a lot of variation, and some gulls didn't care at all and just stole food no matter what, pretty much like us, really.
I guess it's a bit too anthropomorphic to put that down to guilt. It's probably just some sort of fear of, you know, an apex predator staring at me over these chips.
Yes, absolutely. And I did notice that some media outlets using the word guilt, which the researchers didn't use that word at all.
Steady on. Susanna, thank you. I'm now feeling better about a sea visit. I will stare down those magpies, those seagulls. Thank you. Susanna Elliott, CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre in Adelaide.